So my name is Kabir Carter, and I'm an artist that works primarily with sound, but also with other materials, and I'm based in New York. I am organizing and moderating a panel discussion on the role of sound in art for Unsound Festival New York. Unsound Festival began in Krakow in Poland around 2003. One of the main people, if not the main person, who organized it and initiated it is Matt Schulz. He's an Australian who's been based in Poland for several years now. What happened was that he saw that there was a bit of a gap in terms of presentation of works dealing with electronics, that's to say music and sound work, dealing with electronics in Poland and in Krakow in particular. So the festival's been going on since 2003. There are satellites of the festival, I think primarily in Minsk. There's been other unsound festivals. However, this is the first one, or rather the first satellite that's going to take place in New York. And I mean, it's true that in New York, you have a pretty rich and deep history of work in the arts with electronics and especially with music. But the thing that's particular about the Unsound Festival and why I think it is a good idea for something like this to happen here is that people in New York tend to forget or aren't aware of the fact that there are often parallel or related communities of artists working with electronics and electronic music, experimental electronic music, dance music, sound. Apart from maybe certain major European cities, it's often, sadly, the fact that, you know, we tend to overlook what's happening elsewhere. So for a festival that actually does showcase artists who are based in Eastern Europe and give, you know, it gives us an opportunity to see what's happening or, you know, hear what's happening elsewhere and maybe begin to create different kinds of dialogues where it isn't simply about reified historical notion that experimental art using technology is really coming from the West. The festival does have a really wide range of events taking place. One thing that I'm really curious about is this exhibition of Polish sound postcards. In Poland, it was very difficult for people to get access to, say, Western popular music. And I think part of that had to do with the economics of it. So what happened is that a consumer in Poland could go to certain outlets or places and get these custom recordings of kind of like flexi discs onto postcards. So there were these two things. They could choose the recording that they wanted, and they could also choose the image, I suppose, that they wanted to have on the card itself. And I'm not really clear on whether or not they were actually used as postcards and sent and disseminated in that way. But it was one point of access to, say, music and cultural activity outside of Poland for people in Poland. And so there's going to be this exhibition where Matt Schulz, who is the founder of Unsound Festival, will be presenting a range of these sound postcards from his collection. I'm just a girl, one among the others, nothing much to say. I was approached by an organizer, one of the organizers from Unsound Festival, to set up a panel discussion on sound and art. And basically, I'm interested in having some sort of conversation that tries to expose where things are at this point in terms of the artists who work in sound and other people involved in the arts, critics, theorists, curators, and sort of try to get, let's just say, a read on where things are at this point and maybe what kinds of questions are coming up now that maybe weren't there before. In terms of the kind of work that I mean as far as sound goes, I'm sort of backing away from even using the term sound art because I think that right at this moment, for me, it's a little bit of a loaded term and creates certain kinds of expectations. I don't think that the term sound art necessarily creates a specific and uniform idea of a kind of work as much as it creates a situation where there's a boundary drawn that's unclear and vague, and it kind of reduces and limits what kind of dialogue there can be made or can be had around the idea of sound in art. There really isn't much in the way of a tradition or history of critical writing on sound at this point in the U.S. So even in the past couple of years, there's been this amazing sort of production of works in English that are concerned with the role of sound in art. And you'll find that they kind of fall into these different kinds of categories. Some are really focusing on sort of an experimental music / sound history and emphasizing that. And then there are a few other books that really focus more on the possibility of creating a sort of new field where sound can operate in a lot of different arenas and not be limited in terms of having to be, say, like a sound installation, or only work that's shown in a museum on headphones, or, you know, only something that's always tied to some kind of exciting visual event. So the panel is called Mapping Sound and Art. The discussants are Christoph Cox. He's a writer who often writes about sound, and he is a professor of philosophy at Hampshire College. One of the things he's worked on recently is an essay that's part of a catalog on two installations by Max Neuhaus that is being published, I believe, by Yale University Press. Michael J. Schumacher is an artist, composer, and a performer. He has founded and run two sound-focused spaces. First one, I believe, is called Studio 5 Beekman, and the second one is called Diapason, which is still running. Michael has had many years now of both creative and curatorial experience of sound, and really has a good and deep understanding of the different kinds of works that have been made historically and are being made by people now. Another one of the people in the panel is Regine Basha, and she's a curator. I first encountered her curatorial work at a really great survey show of sound called Treble that was at the Sculpture Center, I think around 2004, 2005. What's really nice about Regine's curatorial practice is that she doesn't really think of sound as always having to be something that you listen to. So she manages to find work that deals with sound in a variety of mediums, whether it's drawing, sculpture, sonified works, or something else entirely different. The other person in the discussion is Åsa Stjerna, and she's a Stockholm-based sound artist that I met recently. She makes a lot of work in urban spaces and deals with sort of sculptural or architectural elements in some of her work. And she wrote a really interesting essay that talks about differences in the critical reception of sound in the U.S. and in Europe, and having her as part of the discussion is going to help, I think, really expose some of the critical problems that we've been having here, and hopefully, you know, help us see that there are other possibilities in terms of how we talk and think about sound. One of the basic questions or problems is that sound work, technologically speaking, is generally dealing with this idea of time or duration. And even in a situation where time and duration are being somehow critiqued or played with or developed in some interesting way, an audience generally is going to have a different kind of frame And by, in this case, by audience, I mean everyone other than the artist who's making the work. There's just this really rigid frame that's been established as far as how you're supposed to look at time-based work and how you're supposed to look at other kinds of works that are objects, like sculptures. And so I think that that's one of the really big questions and problems that face sound in art at the moment. I decided early on, I decided to remove myself as a performer and to remove the physical components of my sound works from musical spaces. That's to say, I decided to remove my work and myself from the stage. And that's basically a decision that I saw that was necessary in order for me to understand how I could make work that spoke to larger aesthetic concerns that weren't always going to be limited to this sort of music sound binary relationship. Yeah, I mean, I use the environment a lot of my work, but I would have to say that everybody's work or sound works are always somehow informed by their environment. You know, the environment informs the resonance of, say, airborne sound. And so if you're recording with mics and you're doing something in that way, or you're recording a space and somehow projecting the sound in that space, that becomes, you know, it's all about environment on one level. And, you know, like when someone makes an installation and it's in a museum and it's on headphones, that's a very particular kind of environment. So I guess for me, the decision I made and one of the things that I generally try to grapple with is, well, how can I make a work that has its own shape and form and texture while still sort of not accepting any sort of given parameters as far as the presentational mode of the work, which is to say the environment that the work is exhibited or presented or staged in. One of the things that I'm interested in is finding new ways to work with sound in space, whether it's through gathering sound in different kinds of ideas of space, etheric or radiophonic space, or some other kind of physical, more immediate space. I'm interested in finding new ways of gathering and somehow touch or sort of have some kind of more physical and immediate experience and relationship to those sounds. And conversely, I have the same kind of interest in terms of how I relate as an artist to an audience. I still have this sort of role as a performer in a lot of the work that I do, but when I do perform, generally my performances are somehow complicated by some kind of tension or confusion or unpredictability, dare I say, possibility of failure. That would be, for me, how I think of sound in terms of art more than some other kind of category. Because basically I think that those kinds of questions and ideas and concerns hold true across a range of materials and media that can be used in the arts. And, you know, sound just happens to be one of them. 39.